Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way.
Oh, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, you had better wake them up, get them up, get them going on a Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. It's great to be back. We got a lot to do. 4 hours of tremendous sports conversation begins right now here on the Show of the People. Wherever you're finding us, we appreciate you being there, whether you're on 104.9, on 101.9 FM, AM 1260, and always streaming live, local, and digital on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, on our Twitch channel at hornfm.com, and of course, always just streaming live at hornfm.com. It's going to be a great Monday. Obviously, seismic change coming at the University of Texas and north of the Red River from Oklahoma. We'll get you the very latest, an emergency meeting yesterday of the Big 12's executive committee, which included Bob Bowlesby and both the presidents of the University of Texas and the University of Oklahoma. We'll get you the fallout there. Also, the Tokyo Olympics continue. Baseball, we got a lot to do. Be a tremendous 4 hours. Cowboys are at camp. It's going to be good. And how are you, Mr. Godboy?
I'm doing well. Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you, thank you, thank you very much. Be a part of the solution and not part of the problem out there, please. Do the best you can.
Yeah, what a week. I mean, took a week off and a lot went down. We're back to stage four here in Austin. Come back from the trip to find that out. Also, there's Colin Moore. Cowell won a PGA championship. Finals went to the Bucks and Giannis Antetokounmpo. Tokyo Olympics are underway. Cleveland Indians changed their name to the Cleveland Guardians, Buck. And it looks like Texas is headed to the SEC.
Yeah, in a matter of weeks, looks like they'll be headed that way.
Or at least, well, today could be the official letter sent to the Big 12 informing them that they're out, which has apparently been the plan all along. But obviously the word broke last week on Wednesday. Brent Zwerneman of the Houston Chronicle with that first report that sent the college athletics world, you know, rippling, and obviously we'll come to fruition today, and we'll certainly document it and talk about it with you as we get you rolling on a good, bad, and ugly Monday. How was the week?
The week was good.
Good.
It was good. It was long, good. There was a lot of news every day. It was never ending when OU and Texas decided to make their, you know, 6 months under disguised calls to the SEC while the Aggies said that they didn't know anything about it, and of course they knew about it. You can't keep a secret like that. What are you, crazy? That's not a secret. That thing's getting out within 6 months within your conference, and they just don't know what to do about it, and I feel bad for them. I don't understand.
Feel bad for the Aggies?
Yeah. Why do they? What are they worried about? What's the big deal? I don't know what the big deal is.
Well, they wanted to be standalone. They wanted to be the only school in Texas in the SEC. That was why they left, and now 10 years later.
It's not going to work.
Here comes Texas and Oklahoma. Let's start right there with the headlines, and we'll get caught up on the week that was and the week to come. Let's get you caught up with the news of the morning, though, including an emergency meeting yesterday, or just a meeting between Big 12 officials. We'll get you the details. Sharp Vision, Modern LASIK, bringing you the news and allowing me to see 2020. We'll start with the seismic change coming from Austin and Norman. It appears that the reports of last week and this past weekend will become reality today when Texas and Oklahoma are expected to formally notify the Big 12 Conference that they will not be renewing their grant of rights agreement with the conference when those rights expire at the end of the 2024-2025 school year. The official notification is the first step for the two schools to then be considered for admission into the Southeastern Conference, which is where they're eyeing. The move comes following a Big 12 Executive Committee meeting that was held yesterday that included Texas President Jay Hartzell and Oklahoma President Joe Haraz. Multiple reports indicate, though, that the meeting was cordial, but did not alter either school's plans. In a statement released following yesterday's meeting, Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlesby said in part, quote, "I expect there will be continued conversation in the days ahead. We look forward to discussing thoughts, ideas, and concepts that may be of shared interest and impact." That from Bob Bowlesby yesterday. To the Tokyo Olympics, United States official medal count stands at 14 now, including 7 gold medals after the first weekend of competition. U.S. swimmer Katie Ledecky settled for silver in the women's 400-meter last night in the freestyle. That came as a surprise. Speaking of surprises, U.S. men's basketball team saw their 25-game Olympic winning streak snapped. They fell to France in pool play, 83-76. Speaking of hoops, how about Luka Doncic in his Olympics debut? The Dallas Mavericks star dropped 48 points Second tied for the second most in a single game in Olympics history. Slovenia defeated Argentina 118-100. In Major League Baseball, Houston Astros completed a three-game sweep of the Rangers with a 3-1 win at Minute Maid Park yesterday. Sweep has the Astros now 5.5 up in the American League West over the Oakland A's. Their season-best 22 games over 500. Rangers, meanwhile, have lost 12 in a row. They are 30 games under 500. Trade yesterday in Major League Baseball, Padres have acquired Pirates all-star second baseman Adam Frazier for three minor leaguers from the Pittsburgh Pirates. So he leads all of baseball in hits this year, the 29-year-old. He is now a Padre. Major League Baseball's trade deadline is this Saturday. And in golf, former Texas A&M golfer Cameron Champ fired a final round 66 to win the 3M Championship in the Twin Cities yesterday. Champ finished two strokes better than Louis Oosthuizen, former Longhorn Jonathan Vegas, and Charles Schwartzel.
This segment brought to you by Sharp Vision Modern LASIK. Now offering LASIK starting at $495 per eye and guaranteed financing approval. Sharp Vision Modern LASIK, official LASIK provider of Austin FC.
And the start of the Olympics, this opening ceremony is on Friday. Mike Tirico just tried his best, but boy, was that boring. That was just
no crowd.
Awful. That was awful. No crowd, no nothing, only a number of handful of athletes for each country. It was... He tried, and if the squirrel can't do it, nobody can do it. That was just tough. That was a tough opening ceremonies, and I think everybody got what they expected to see. When you have no fans, that's the whole thing. They came in waving, and they were waving to, like, placards. It was just different. It was strange. This has been a strange Olympics so far. But we'll get into the golf, I think, in another week or so.
Yeah, it's all, you know, it's a several-week competition.
Yeah,
it's just underway with 3 days of
lots of swimming right now.
Yeah, swimming, the gymnastic preliminaries are underway, the basketball pool play, USA loses to France. They now have to play, they've got Iran and the Czech Republic in their pool as well. They win those two games, they'll get to the medal round.
But yeah.
Obviously, Greg Popovich and Kevin Durant and company, vulnerable. They couldn't finish the deal yesterday.
France, they lost to France?
France.
They lost to my Frenchman?
Yeah, man, Frenchman. But yeah, a lot. I mean, what a, you know, July wrapping up the final week here with so much going on. Obviously, the huge story with Texas and Oklahoma, and the official word coming today. Expected a letter sent to the Big 12 conference. I know you guys talked about it last week, but you know, the Big 12. We were at Big 12 Media Days the last week I was here before the week off, and you know that's where the initial conversations from the Big 12 to its leadership of, hey, you know, we want to sign a 5-year extension. Let's push this granting of rights deal in our TV package. 5 more years till 2030, which obviously Texas, that's really what broke the lid on this story, that Texas and Oklahoma didn't want any part of any extension. As a matter of fact,
they had already been talking.
Yeah, well, for sure. And so, you know, now the letter will be formally sent today. As they say, the reports will become reality when that actually happens. Everything that was last week was you know, chatter and media reports. My question is, and I've asked several people over at the university, I've gotten crickets so far, is will there be some type of news conference once the letter is sent? Because at that point, you know, it's not just media reports and, you know, you can stay quiet. Yesterday, Bob Bowlesby, the commissioner, along with the executive committee of the Big 12, had a video conference with Jay Hartzell and the president of Oklahoma, just trying to, you know, talk through things through. See where they're at, and but if the letter goes out, then all of a sudden it's the rubber meets the road here. This thing,
I don't think they still want to talk about it. There's still some stones uncovered when it comes to will the Big 12, will the other members of the Big 12 try to sue? How much is it going to cost to leave the conference? You're breaking a contract, and contracts were meant to be broken, just like promises and handshakes. So there's a lot that they don't want to even talk about. They want to say that they're still. They may sign away, but they know they have to play Big 12 games. They don't get to go to the SEC and start playing in September.
No.
They want to keep everything as quiet as possible, as long as possible, till they find out where they're going to stand and how much they're going to possibly have to pay out to the conference that they were in, I guess.
Well, and that becomes, you know, once the letter is sent from both schools informing the conference of their plan, their formal plan, then, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what pushes the... You know, lights the fuse on all the conversations you're talking about, and that begins today. And that's where you wonder, you know, will we hear a statement from President Jay Hartzell? Will we hear from, you know, obviously this is not a Chris Del Conte Texas Athletics decision. This is a decision well above his level. This is a presidential level Board of Regents decision for the university that, as you said, they've been discussing for months now. But you know, here we are on July the 27th and the rubber meets the road. This is where it starts. Will there be some type of formal statement from UT and the president of here's why we're doing this, you know, here's the plan, or will it be, you know, maintain behind the scenes and remain, you know.
Yeah, well, they're doing it for the money. Because that is the why. The why is about the money. It's about the future.
Well, I'm just talking about the leaders of the university actually explaining, okay, here's where we are, here's where we're going.
Yeah, I just don't – yeah, they're going to have to say something. They can't just keep it quiet.
Right.
They can't go along and say, okay, we're going to the SEC. We'll talk to you next year when we're actually in the SEC. But, no, it's about money. It's about the future. It's about playing in a super conference that, you know, you're going to have money with new TV rights and – lots of money to be made. I don't know. I thought last week more than anything was about the money. It's not, you know, they'll figure out how to win later. Let's make sure we're in and we're stable for the next, I don't know, 20, 25 years or whatever that we decide to do, because for so long Texas was, and I didn't even talk about this last week, the fact that Texas used to, remember, it used to be there is no chance Texas would go to the SEC because academically we don't stand for that type of thing. Well, yeah, you do. You stand for the money.
Well, I will say
this. Because that was one of the biggest things was Texas will never join the SEC because they don't meet the type of standards academically.
Well, and that's the change in leadership, obviously, right? That's a pretty stunning change, too, because you and I have done this a long time. And for a long time, it was not seen as a cultural fit for Texas to be in the SEC. You and I talked about it a lot.
It's a money fit.
Yeah, well, and that's why I say change of leadership. The president of the university is a businessman. I mean, at the end of the day, Jay Hartzell, who took over this summer or one summer ago, he's an economist. I mean, he is, used to be the head of the Macomb School of Business.
Yeah, it's a business.
It's a business decision.
Move. Yeah.
And, you know, the debates about athletics and does Texas fit, you know, educationally, academically, culturally.
That's gone.
It's a business deal. There's no question about that. And I think it's a smart business deal. It's an aggressive business deal. And one that, you know, as you said, we were told for a long time from the previous administrations, the previous leadership at Texas, that now, you know, we're more in line with the Pac-12. We'd be more in line with the Big Ten philosophically.
We're in line with the money.
But now the changing landscape of college athletics with name, image, and likeness and new TV deals coming online, it's a business deal, 100%. And also remember Kevin Eltife, who is the president or the chairman of the Board of Regents currently. You know, these two guys, along with Chris Del Conte, have been very aggressive. Obviously the move from Tom Herman to Steve Sarkisian, the move from Shaka Smart to Chris Beard, the plan and the execution of this new Moody Center and the basketball arena where an outside entity is actually funding, you know, this arena that's being built right next to the football stadium. These are all business deals. These are all a couple of business guys being aggressive with their business. And, you know, this is the business of college athletics, Buck. I mean, you know, the changing landscape of, well, it's amateurism, it's still college sports. I think we all know that has been completely ripped away now. And in a business market, you've got to compete and look at the future and forecast, and that's what they're doing here. This is to get ahead of the next round of TV deals to put Texas and certainly Oklahoma into the best financial place. Wouldn't you say it's about the money? Yeah, it's about, you know, one of the things that I've talked about with folks on Twitter, and I know you guys talked about last week, when ESPN starts handing out new TV deals in the coming years, they don't have nearly as much money as they once did. The pool of money they had 10 years ago when they, you know, agreed to a, you know, LHN contract with Texas, when they were throwing huge money around, and because of cord cutting and the changing landscape of the entertainment industry and the way TV works and streaming services, ESPN doesn't have the money that they did at one point. So, you know, how much do they have, right? So if you're going to maximize your take of that money, you need to be in one of the premier conferences, and that's what the SEC is going to
There's no doubt about that part of it, yes.
And that's why Texas is going, and that's obviously why the Big 12 now has to fight for something. I don't know what they're going to be fighting for.
Well, they're
going
to find that's why they need to hold on, because teams like West Virginia, will they leave? Will the Big 12 then bring in other teams that, you know, for years we thought that you need to bring a couple other teams in here.
Yeah.
Who will come in here and keep you afloat? Or you just disintegrate and head other places?
Yes. Well, and I know you and I in the past have talked about a lot about will this conference exist beyond 2024? And you and I thought probably not. I mean, the changing landscape now.
But it was more of a changing landscape. The Big 12 was doing okay financially. They were.
Sure.
It wasn't that they were struggling. They were actually doing okay. But okay is just okay. When you can go with the big dogs and make the huge money, then that's fine. For fans, you know, they talk about, you know, I hear silly things like, well, now we can go to away games where we'll really like. Okay, great, as a fan. Well, you need to win games too. You know, your recruiting has to pick up, which I think it definitely will if Sark. But now it's just a 1 year. You're here for 1 year. And this team has to be really, really pretty good, I believe, to go into that conference. Or you just wait it out. You know, A&M had to wait it out for years. Remember, A&M wasn't all that good when they went to the SEC for quite a while. Now they made it. They made a change in coaches 3 years later. And if there's a 12-team playoff, that group would have been in last year. So
well, they're nearly in the 4-team.
Yeah, that's So it's what you really, really want. You want nice trips. Do you want to take a while before you're not the seventh best team in the SEC? What are your thoughts as your thoughts as a fan are trips? Yeah, we can win some games, but the trips are nice. You don't think about it financially like the president of the university thinks of it. You don't think of another extra $60 million a year. That's big. That's a lot of money.
Well, yes, and going and putting yourself in the best position for the next 20 years of
financially
and college athletics and where it's going. You're trying to forecast that. Jay Hartzell, the president of the university, is an economist. Where's our money going to be best? And that's in that conference with the changing landscape of the industry, without a doubt. But it's going to be awkward. There's no doubt. I mean, Texas is going to play this year and possibly even next year, still as a member of the Big 12.
Well, I hope for at least 2 years they'll play because they need to get better in the Big 12.
Yes.
As a football team. Now, I've been known to be a little bit of a Tom Jones, what's new, pussycat. I heard that all last week. Come on now. I mean, that song was played over and over and over, and I'm like, it's just not there. You need to get better. This is a great opportunity. If you stay here for 2 years, I like it better than staying 1 year.
Well, and that's what we don't know. That's why I ask the question, will we hear from anybody at UT this week at some point, a press conference, a media availability, just to say, look, here's what we're doing. Here's why we're doing it. Here's kind of the timeline. Because, look, they've got a lot of contracts to discuss. I mean, they've got,
yes,
you know, the deal with the LHN, the Longhorn Network contract with ESPN, is through 2031.
But that'll be picked up in the SEC somehow. I mean,
well,
the SEC,
no, they're going to buy that out.
That TV contract is going to get monstered compared to what's able to be made.
Correct. I mean, but they still going to have to buy that contract out with the ESPN. I mean, that now they could roll it into a new deal. Now, they're not going to be able to take the LHN with them.
No.
To the SEC. They're going to become part of the SEC, which I think is a good thing for Texas, to become part of a conference where there are more like universities around you. You're not just the big dog kind of running the roost, which they do in the Big 12 and have for a long
time. Which you like to do.
Yes.
You like to run the roost.
Oh, yeah.
And you're headed to a place where Florida, Alabama,
no,
Georgia,
there are a lot of big dogs.
There's a lot of big dogs
there. And you're just one of them. Now, you're still, but you know, arguably as big a brand as there is, but you're part of
it. I still think you're the biggest besides Alabama.
Yeah, probably. But at the same time, you know, you're now not the massive mansion of the neighborhood.
Your decisions will have to really go, instead of like you do in the Big 12, you in Oklahoma, when you get in that conference, you're not going to be decision makers. There are other decision makers within that conference.
Yeah, well, and you have to be a good partner. And that's the biggest concern down at Texas A&M. Now, everybody, we know that there's acrimony there. They don't want it. Maybe they've come to grips with the idea that it's going to happen and there's nothing that the Aggies
can
do to prevent it. Even though they want to be standalone in the SEC, that's obviously not the case. But at the same time, one of the things that their president put out in a statement is, hey, you know, we are for being all for one and one for all, being a conference, being united, and that's what makes the SEC so great. You know, as you just said, Texas doesn't have to get used to that. Texas is used to having things their way.
Right.
If you make this move, and it does appear Texas is going to move that direction as of today, then you're committing to being part of a conference, and you're being part of a team and a unified group, which the SEC is going to be a powerhouse at 16 teams. And heck, there's reports out there that they're not done, that they're contacting other schools, and you know, the SEC may be eyeing a 20-team conference or a 24-team conference. Who knows where this goes from here once Texas and Oklahoma make this move. But obviously today will be the first step, and we will talk about it with you on a good, bad, and ugly Monday morning with a lot of conversations to be had. There is a ton out there. Obviously, though, this will be the dominant conversation of the morning. The Olympics are underway. We've got baseball news. We got a lot going on. NBA baseball.
Yeah, we got Deshaun Watson reporting to camp.
Deshaun Watson showing up at Houston camp yesterday, which puts the Texans in a pretty awkward position in the NFL. He doesn't want to be fined $50,000 a day.
Yeah, he's going to need $50,000 each day. He needs his coin. He can't leave $50,000 on the table because they're going to take it.
Yeah, and you wonder where that goes. And the NFL has been, you know, kind of like we wonder if you hear something from the officials at the University of Texas today. Will you hear something from the NFL on this Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, what if they don't want that guy on the field? I mean,
well, the thought was at some point before camp began, the NFL would put Deshaun Watson on the commissioner's exempt list.
Right.
Essentially sent him to the principal's office so that the Texans, he doesn't get fined and the Texans, you know, don't have to deal with the awkwardness of him being there.
And he gets paid his 50 G's a day.
Yes. That is now, you know, we haven't heard from the NFL on that. Now,
I kind of laugh at the fact that they say, well, Deshaun Watson needs to play because if they want to trade him, do I really need to see Deshaun Watson play to know how good he is? I mean, really, as a trade bait, I don't care if that guy doesn't play for 3 years. You know how good he is. That's that deal out there is to say, we got to play him. Maybe we can go get we can get something for him when people watch him play. I'm like, really? I don't need to see anything from Deshaun Watson to know he can't play football now. How much of a freak is he? You know what I mean? That's the key. His ability to play the game.
We know he can play. And what we don't know is where the NFL stands on their investigation. I mean, we know that since the Houston police are investigating the 22 allegations, and you know all of them except for one are civil allegations, but the
right.
Houston Police Department is investigating one as potentially criminal, but no charges have been filed.
And they can't do it till 2022. This is like they're right. So behind in the county there in the Houston area.
But listen, you know the NFL has investigated, done their own investigation on this, and the fact that they haven't put him on the exempt list. What have they found? They haven't said anything, and we know in the past, you know, Ezekiel Elliott was suspended six games from the Cowboys for no charges being filed. It was the NFL's own investigation that you know cost him a third of a season. We've seen this before.
Yeah, I can't believe they let him go to camp. I can't believe the NFL say go ahead.
Well, and that's you're just wondering aloud when the NFL investigated these claims. What did they find? And is them not putting him on the exempt list say anything? Right?
Or do they do it on Friday and say sorry? You can't go.
Or do they? Yeah, the Texans are in a spot here. But Deshaun's going to show up and be a part of camp. So we'll follow that story. Cowboys are at camp out in Oxnard. We've got a lot going on. It's a good, bad, and ugly Monday. Great to be back. We'll tell some stories of the week off. And I want to hear from you, Buck, on how things went back here as we get you rolling. Final week of July, historic Monday that, according to all reports, will become the lighting of the fuse of the Texas move to the Southeastern Conference with a letter sent today to the Big 12 Conference that they are planning to not re-up. Divorce is on the horizon for Texas, Oklahoma, and the Big 12. We'll talk about it with you throughout the morning. Good, bad, and ugly. Glad you're with us. However you find us on 104.9, on 101.9 FM, AM 1260, always streaming on the Horn app and always at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E, back together on a Monday. Hope everybody had a great weekend. I had a great week with Chicago, Buck.
How was Chicago? How was Chi-Town?
It's good. Good. Boy, I would say we got there Wednesday. Actually got there Tuesday night. But our first real day there was Wednesday of last week, and it was 70 degrees. Like wearing pants and a little pullover in the evening. It was nice, but it got warmer as the week went, and by went to the Cubs game on Friday against Arizona, and it was warm. It was, you know, upper 80s, and even on Saturday in the 90s. But still a bit of a respite from the sizzling temperatures here.
Yeah, it's over with. I'm sorry.
It's hot.
It's done. It's done. We did it really good. The Farmer's Almanac did really, really well with the rain and all that stuff. But as of this week, I was going to try to get through this week without hitting 100. It was 99 yesterday. It was 99 like on Saturday. And this week it calls for 95 and up. Maybe we won't hit 100.
Upper 90s.
But let me tell you, August, we stopped there.
Yeah, here it comes.
Here it comes. It is going to be nasty. And that heat, as a matter of fact, there are no clouds in the air. It's just blue skies and sun. And I think the humidity is still, for those that can feel the humidity, I swear I changed three times yesterday and I didn't do very much. So I think the humidity is still here too, on top of the heat. So it is... the real deal is here, E.
The real deal. Summer is here for sure. Last week of July with a lot of news, to say the least, to walk back into. But yes, Chicago was great. Good time to get away. But a lot to do as we are now, you know, we'll be working, you know, what are we, 40 days to the first Texas football game. We're 40 days out to Texas and Louisiana. And, you know, as of today, according to all reports, even and despite a meeting yesterday between the Big 12 and its executive committee. Remember last week the Big 12 had a meeting and the Oklahoma president and the Texas president, Jay Hartzell, didn't show up. they weren't at the meeting.
Right.
When the initial reports broke last Wednesday, they had a meeting yesterday on a Sunday afternoon, and Jay Hartzell was a part of it, along with the Oklahoma president, Joe Haraz. And Bob Bowlsby then released a statement late yesterday after it, saying it was cordial. And here's his exact statement. He says, it was cordial, and the executive committee expressed its willingness to discuss proposals that would strengthen the conference and be mutually beneficial to OU and UT, as well as the other member institutions of the conference. I expect there will be continued conversations in the days ahead. We look forward to discussing those thoughts, ideas, and concepts that may be shared of shared interest to and impact for both. So, you know, essentially, by all reports, it was a listening session where Jay Hartzell and Joe Haraz pretty much listened to what the Big 12 had to say. It's not going to change their position,
I don't believe.
It
really isn't, because they control the Big 12 anyway. What the others are telling you and what's going to happen and here's what we can do, Texas and Oklahoma already know that. They know the limitations of what this conference can do. So when they start asking, like, here's what we have for you in Oklahoma, well, they're the ones who run the show. They understand what their limitations are.
Well, and I think we have to live in the reality, but at the same time, Bob Bowlsby's still the commissioner of the conference, and he's got to be the commissioner for the other eight schools who are now...
As long as they're there.
For sure. And as long as this exists, I mean, there's still going to be a conference sports calendar that begins in the fall. And as of now, the Big 12 is still a 10-team conference that includes Texas and Oklahoma. Today begins the process of the divorce, by all accounts. Despite the meeting yesterday, Oklahoma and Texas will both send a letter to the conference informing them that they will not be, you know, part of the granting of rights deal beyond 2025.
How long do you have to stick? That's the thing,
right?
That will be the deal. How long do they stay?
I mean, everything from last Wednesday when Brent Zorneman from the Houston Chronicle had the first report that really came from College Station, that, you know, everything from that point to now is conversation and you know, everybody speculating. What can happen as of today is, you know, it's official. I mean, this thing is happening, and how does Texas respond? How does the Big 12 respond to Texas and Oklahoma making this official? You know, we all know that process. It's going to be a long one, and it's going to be interesting. But at the same time, we got 40 days to the first football game, and, you know, less than that to the start of the fall calendar, and Texas and Oklahoma will still be in the conference. I mean, that's going to be the case. It's just the official beginning of the process as of today.
Yeah, I mean, this doesn't just affect football. It affects...
Oh, it's every sport. Yeah.
I mean, you're joining a conference with Kentucky when you start playing basketball. I mean, it's that volleyball. It affects everybody. But the main deal are the two schools for football. That's because that's what makes all the other sports go, and we all understand that by now. And it affects, you know, likeness and image and all the other stuff and how that'll affect Texas. That works in their favor to be in that conference. And as I said, OU and Texas have run this conference for as long as it's been in existence. So to sit back and be cordial, that's nice. But when does the other stuff start? Because I think we all had a feeling last week that it was done. They've been on the insides working on this for months, almost half a year, at least a half a year.
For sure.
But A&M was making it seem like we didn't know anything about it until a couple minutes before their head coach spoke at the SEC. Well, this bombshell got dropped, but they all knew. I mean, nobody keeps a secret anymore, and nobody in a conference can keep a secret for 6 months.
Well,
that is impossible.
It does feel like Texas and Oklahoma, certainly it's a small circle of people that were working on this. We know it's the president from the president's office and Kevin L. Type at the Board of Regents. And, I mean, every piece of reporting I've read from A&M is that they didn't know.
They could not be kept in the dark for six months. There's no way.
I think it came as a surprise to their athletic director, for sure, Ross Bjork, last week. And I think it came as a surprise to Jimbo Fisher.
And their own guy dropped it. I mean, if he knows it,
well,
and can drop it.
But Brent Zorneman was on our station last week with the afternoon guys and said he uncovered this story while he was writing a story about the 10-year anniversary of the last round of realignment. And R. Bowen Lofton, their president, and when he was talking to some longtime sources about, okay, let's write this 10 years later piece and you know, all this, you know, one of those sources who will remain unnamed dropped this piece of information on his lap. Hey, the world about this. If that was then, we'll look at what's about to happen now, potentially. And now here we are. And
well, then so, your spot on the totem pole is pretty low, Aggies. I'll just say that. You are very low of you in 6 months, and you didn't know what was going on.
Well, for sure. Because, look, if you peel back the layers on this thing, you know, in their new aggressive mindset, Jay Hartzell, the president, and Kevin Eltife, the chairman of the Board of Regents, have been working this deal for a while. But who are they working with? They're working with Greg Sankey at the SEC. They're almost certainly working with their partners at ESPN.
They're working with Oklahoma.
Well, exactly. With the president of Oklahoma. Those two, but they've kept it a pretty small circle, it appears, and pretty quiet. And their plan was to drop this letter as of Monday. But the word got out last Wednesday. Or else, you know, there's a chance that the first we would have heard of this is today. Instead, the story broke last week, and now here we are. But now it's about the formal process of moving forward, and I think we're all wondering what that looks like. What are the next steps? And that's why I do wonder, will there be some type of a statement from Jay Hartzell, some type of a press conference, or at least answer some questions about, because now once you make the formal step, you're actually moving forward. And why are you doing that? What is your timeline? What is the plan? We can all speculate on what we think the plan is, but the people in charge at some point are going to have to lay out, here's our course of action, here's why we're doing this. Because as we know, Big 12, you know, the founding members are Oklahoma and Texas, and they have led this conference, and now it does feel like they're moving the other direction. I do think you're going to have to hear from them at some point this week.
Yeah, I mean, it only makes sense. I mean, if you're gone, you're gone. And you'd like to give your fans...
what does gone look like becomes the question, right?
Yeah,
when is gone? When is
gone?
Yeah. What is gone? What's the process look like? What are the agreements?
I hope gone is in 2 years so that that the main character in this is your football program can get better and not leave after 1 year. I really would like to see that. I'd like to see them... I'd like to see the not only that, as the coaching staff get an opportunity to coach in the Big 12 for 2 years... and get settled in before you move to the SEC. That's just from a coaching standpoint for me. That's not from a money standpoint. That's not from any other reason that I like to see you really, really get good and really get good in 2 years, and now go ahead and go over to what you're going to do. Because I would hate the jump after this year. I don't even know
if that's possible, but people will say, well, why now? Why is this happening right now if it can't happen for a couple of years? Well, I mean, this is a long process, and I would argue that the first reason it's happening now is two things. One, the Big 12 was putting pressure on all of its member schools to agree to a 5-year extension of the current deal. So now they want
to line up for money too with TV.
Like Bob Bowlesby knows that these new TV deals are about to be cut in the coming 18 months.
Right.
And okay, let's be united on this. Let's go 5 extra years. And of course, Texas and Oklahoma at that point, you know, their feet are to the fire, and they have to reveal that, no, we're not planning to be here beyond this deal, just so you all know. So that's why now. But at the same time, as I just mentioned, and you said, that, I mean, the new TV deals are being put together now. I mean, they're being put together now. And so the SEC is going to be the first seat at the table for the, you know, we look at ESPN and what they're going to spend money on moving forward for their broadcast rights. NFL is going to be number one, right? They're going to keep their Monday Night Football. NFL, they're doing new deals for the NFL. All the next round of TV packages are going to be done in the next couple of years. So the first priority for ESPN is going to be NFL Monday Night Football to continue that partnership with the NFL. But then second, it's going to be these college football contracts. And what's the premium contract? It's the SEC. So Texas is going to put themselves, along with Oklahoma, into that conversation ahead of the curve and leave the other 8 Big 12 schools that they've been members with out of that and get into the first line of money, because there's a feeling within the TV industry that there's just not as much money this time around.
And what kind of money, what kind of deal is it that if you stay in the Big 12, and all these guys yesterday were talking about, well, here's what we're going to do for you, Oklahoma and Texas. I mean, they already know you're the kingpins. You make the decisions. They're not giving money to you. You're taking money if you want to. What you've been doing is, I don't know if you've been keeping it afloat. It's been doing okay. As I said, you know, last week, this conference has been doing okay. It's held. But the TV revenues, it's just like, you know, image and likeness. Yeah, you know, the players are, it's nice, but here's what they can really, really make, and that's with the universities. It's about money. Well, and they already have enough. You're not going to tell West Virginia and Kansas State isn't telling Oklahoma and Texas what we can do for you. I mean, that's like, sorry, guys. We're going to listen to it, but...
That was part of the conversation yesterday in this emergency meeting they held. And obviously Bob Bowlesby is part of it, the president of Baylor, the president of Texas Tech. And they're saying, right. Hey, look, what can we do? Can we give y'all more? We'll give you isn't more than everybody else. And
how does that work? How does that work, well, to give because in Oklahoma more? We give you, it's a conference. We're all in it together. But in order to keep you here, we're going to try to give you more from the conference.
That, right, well, because they're the driving force of the next TV deal. But
is Texas then going to go into the SEC thinking they can do those type of things?
No.
No? I don't think, are you sure?
I wouldn't. I hope not. And I do think Jay Hartzell's a smart guy and a businessman himself. I mean, he's an economist.
And he knows what he's dealing with Florida, Georgia, Alabama.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I mean, you have to. You go in that eyes wide open, and you've already had the preliminary conversations with ESPN. You've talked to the leadership at the SEC. Mm-hmm. You know where this thing is headed. And I mean, it's a monumental decision that Texas is embarking on here. But at the same time, as you said, the Big 12 has been doing okay. That's true, because the Big 12's last round of TV deals was pretty good. And they didn't add new teams to the Big 12 because they were happy splitting that pot among 10 teams.
Right.
And, you know, every new team you add, there's another person mouth to feed on that.
And you understand that if when this thing goes to 14-team playoff and 12-team playoff or whatever, you still got a chance. Not only can your winner get in, but your loser can possibly get in.
Sure, that's a big part. Don't think this isn't all falling in line with name, image, and likeness coming online.
Sure.
The expansion to a 12-team playoff and, you know, the new TV deals. Those three things are really pushing this in the changing face of college athletics, and obviously new leadership at Texas. I mean, this is to have Jay Hartzell and Kevin Elteif in charge. This is a different mindset than was held by Bill Powers or, you know, Dallas Dodds or the powers that be 10 years ago when this was all happening.
Yeah, because you wouldn't hold hands with this group from the SEC.
No,
academically, you'd say, no,
not a good cultural fit was the conversation.
But now, it's a good money fit.
Now it's a business fit for sure. But to finish the point, then we'll get to a timeout and take your thoughts on it and continue to analyze the latest of that's coming down. But when you say the Big 12's been doing okay, that's true. But this move's being made because, you know, there's potentially in the next 10 years beyond 2024, it wouldn't be, because it's not going to be in a power position in its current state as far as what they're going to bring. Now, Bob Bowlesby at Big 12 Media Days last week said, we're okay. Well, I think this move would indicate.
Well, anything that says okay is just
right.
You want to
be.
You're floating above water. You're okay.
You're going to be. You're a dying conference.
Yes.
And have been, you know, as a 10-team league. And this puts Texas and at least Oklahoma, the two premier teams, into a premier conference in all sports, not just football.
Right.
For the long haul, which is what is the long and the short of why this is all going down, in my opinion. All right, we'll take your thoughts. We'll get the other good, the bad, and the ugly. Also, a report over the weekend is the SEC also targeting other major brands in essentially a monopolistic takeover of college football. We'll get you details on that. The good, the bad, and the ugly from the busy weekend. It's B&E with you. Live, local, and digital, streaming on your Horn app and always at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Hope you had a great weekend. It's good to be back. A lot of conversations. Coming up next hour, reset those headlines, including does appear that Texas and Oklahoma will make it official today with their letter to the Big 12 Conference informing them of their planned move, which will open up the door for an official invitation from the Southeastern Conference. We will get you the timeline and the very, very latest if you're just coming to this story or trying to catch up on it. Also, the stories of the weekend, the good, the bad, and the ugly. The Tokyo Olympics are up and running. Team USA has already taken a loss in basketball to France yesterday. Part of the bad of the weekend. Part of the good, though, Luka Doncic. How about him? The Maverick star. 48 points in a Slovenia win over Argentina, 118-100. He was incredible. Historically good performance as far as the Olympics go. 48 points for Luka. Also, Buck, in golf, we had Cameron Champ winning in the Twin Cities. On a very hot day, you see him getting sick. He's had a two-stroke.
Yeah, I saw him make a dumb move at number 18, which he was hitting stingers all day, and all of a sudden he took out his driver on number 18, which is a par 5. He had been hitting that, I don't know what it is, 2-iron or whatever it is, over 300 yards with an iron. And I'm thinking, his caddy really is going to let him hit this thing? He's got a 2-shot lead at a par 5, and the caddy didn't, like, grab the club out of his hand and say, there's no way. Plus, you're about to pass out, dude.
Yeah.
How about hitting the same iron you've been hitting all day long? Now, he made a 5. He made an unbelievable, just really nice wedge shot that spun back and almost went in the hole. But you're talking about having some angst for no reason at all up by 2 with a par 5. It is your last hole, and you've been hitting iron. So why do you grab the driver? I know his caddy was rolling his eyes, but he made it happen. That was a nice win for him. I didn't know if he was going to make it. I thought he was about to barf all over the place.
Well, he got dehydrated about the 15th hole.
Yeah.
The heat index is close to 100 there.
Yeah, speaking of golf tournaments, you and I did well.
Oh.
Well, yeah, yeah. We finished in the top 20.
The British Open? The
Open Championship, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I know I checked it this morning because I had been on vacation. I didn't check my computer, my work computer. So I checked it today.
Yeah, man.
I finished 10th overall in the Horn Bracket Challenge.
Wait a minute. You're going to the I again. We're a team. I don't understand why
you're on my team?
You just said I. How did the hell that happen?
Because my team is called Team E. Hogan. I finished 10th. 10th place, which is the 10th loser.
So all of a sudden we're not partners in this. And
now we're partners?
What the hell, Zay? How does this work in here? One week it's you screwing up. And Zay screwed me up anyway. You know, once again, Isaiah did not have us down correctly. I thought you and I were partners. And then all of a sudden I find out I just get the I word today. There's no I in team.
Well, I didn't know we were partners on that deal. I thought had your team and I had my team.
You're a bigger bandwagoner than Drake.
I finished top 10.
What you guys are talking about.
Finished top 10.
Now team.
And I might have won the thing if I had not picked Phil Mickelson in group
eight. Yeah, we would have won if you didn't do that.
We would have won.
We are in the top 10. Incredible for the first time.
Phil, every other pick I had was great.
That guy's not going to play anymore. He's won the big one. He's chilling out now to the Masters next April.
Didn't even make the cut. He killed me. But, yeah, that was part of the good of last week, including the NBA Finals.
We got to find out who actually won this deal.
I'll look that up. I will look that up because it'll become official today, much like the University of Texas and Oklahoma making their intentions clear. Also, good of the weekend. Speaking of good, bad, and ugly, so I watched yesterday, finally got back about lunchtime yesterday from the trip, sat down and watched the Astros beat the Rangers 3-1. Do you realize the Texas Rangers are approaching historically bad territory here? The Astros beat them to finish off a sweep. The Rangers have lost 12 straight ball games.
Yep.
They haven't led in any of them, Buck. Like, had a lead in 105 innings. They haven't had a lead in a baseball game.
Yeah, that's not good.
Last time that happened, Ted Williams was the manager.
They're not good.
Astros, though, 5.5 up, which is good. Your Yankees blew a lead yesterday, Buck. They had a
in the eighth inning
4-0 lead. There were no hitting. The Red Sox ended up losing 5-4.
Seventh inning, there were no hitting too.
Into the eighth. Yeah, they got no hits.
That's why they're the Yankees. We're still on our way to getting a new manager here.
Blew it, and the Red Sox won the game 5-4. Trade deadline in baseball this week, so that'll be hot and heavy. As you mentioned, Deshaun Watson showing up for Houston Texans camp, which surprised some folks. That story's just kind of been hanging out there, and there's been no resolution to it. But
which part is the surprising part? Not the surprising part that $50,000 a day for a guy who's got 22 individual lawsuits against him. You can't miss out on 50 G's a day, right? You got to report. My deal is, what is his future? What is the NFL going to do? But do you let him take a snap? You've your first round draft pick is a kid from Stanford. He still doesn't want to play. He still wants to be traded. So how am I going to let him? He can come there, but am I going to let him take a snap? Why would I let him take a snap? He's going to do everything he can to get out of Houston.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think the uncertainty is more than. There's just no clarity to this whole situation because it's a civil matter.
But it's pretty clear he doesn't want to be with you still.
No, that has not changed. His stance has not changed. But what he doesn't want right now, the fact that he's showing up to camp, is that he doesn't want to be fined $50,000 for every day of camp he misses.
Right.
And, you know, how did the Texans? I mean, I think there were a lot of folks in NFL circles that believed at some point before training camp began, the NFL would step in and help the Texans out with some type of suspension. And or put him on the commissioner's exempt list,
yeah,
which means he doesn't have to go to camp or show up and he won't be fine. But that hasn't happened yet. And so
they report Sunday coming up. This Sunday, I believe.
No, yesterday.
Yesterday, that Sunday.
Yesterday they reported. And, you know, by all accounts, Deshaun plans to be there. And so we've got a month of that story as the Texans prepare for a football season. Yeah, it's good. It's an ugly deal, without a doubt. And we will talk more about it. And the obvious top story of the day, the Texas move to the SEC. What we know as of this morning, timelines, why, how, and what. We'll continue that conversation with you on a good, bad, and ugly Monday. We are live, we are local, we are digital, we are streaming, always making it easy for you on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.